You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. We pray this message encourages you today. Thanks for listening.
Well, today we are continuing the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called I Am. We're talking about Jesus in his own words. What we're doing in this series is we're looking at Jesus's I Am statements, which are recorded in the Gospel of John. And the statements that Jesus made about himself, they explain who he was and what he came to do in this world. Jesus told us in his own words what his mission was all about on this planet. And so today we're going to look at the statement that Jesus made in John chapter 11, verse 25, when Jesus said this. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Today, I want to talk to you about how God relates to us in our grief and disappointments, how he meets us there. Does anybody in this room ever find yourself asking, like, God, where are you right now? Like, God, why am I going through what I'm going through? Like, God, do you see me? Do you care? I wonder if there's anybody in the room today who you would say you experience faith and doubt at the same time. Am I the only one? I know I've experienced moments of the miraculous power of God in my life, his provision in my life. I would say this whole church is one big miracle in my life. We showed up 10 years ago with nothing, so everything you're experiencing now has been God's miraculous provision in my life. Yet at the same time, I've had prayers that have gone unanswered. I had an uncle in the hospital the beginning of this year who just passed away, and we were praying and believing God was going to heal him, and he passed. This is the human experience, isn't it? We have times of doubt, and we have times of faith, and maybe that's you today. Today, what I want to do is I want us to look at a story where Jesus met some people who he loved in the midst of a devastating loss. This is an amazing story because it kind of gives us a behind-the-scenes view of how God relates to us in our grief. We don't always know what he's up to, but this is one of those stories where we get a sense of what Jesus is doing and what he's thinking and feeling in the midst of someone's grief. And so we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We're going to look at the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. Let me just set this up for you and summarize the first few verses of John, chapter 11. So Lazarus was a dear friend of Jesus. He lived in a small village called Bethany outside of Jerusalem. And he and his sisters, Mary and Martha, they were good friends of Jesus. Luke's Gospel tells us that Jesus would go and stay at their home and they would cook for him, and this was a place of rest and refuge. So these were some good friends of his. And Jesus gets word that Lazarus is very sick, but something interesting happens. He doesn't go to Lazarus right away. He waits 2 days. Before Jesus is able to get to Lazarus, he dies from his sickness. But listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 11, verse 4. He says, Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So we get a sneak peek of how the story is going to end. Now, Jesus is not saying that God orchestrated Lazarus's sickness and his death. That's not what he's saying. I don't believe God is the one sending death and sickness into our lives. But what Jesus is saying is that God is able to redeem Lazarus's death, and in doing so, to reveal his glory. And so we have an advantage over the people in this story who lived this story because we know how the story ends. Jesus tells us that this will not end in death. You know what that tells me, church? Sometimes there is purpose in our pain, even when we don't understand it. We go through times where we don't understand what God is doing, but just because we don't understand it doesn't mean God doesn't have a redemptive purpose for it. And we can be encouraged by that. So let's look at this John chapter 11, verses 17 through 20. Here's what it says. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Now, that's important. The Jews had a belief that the soul hovered over the body for 3 days when someone passed in hopes that the soul might return to the body. So if Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, he's beyond hope. Like, he's dead. He's really dead. Look at verse 18. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. So the first thing we see here is that Martha and her family, they're grieving. Their friends and their family had come to comfort them. And this was the Jewish custom of Shiva, which is 7 days of grieving, where family and friends would literally sit on the floor and mourn with those who were mourning, grieve with the family. And I just wonder how many of you in this room this morning and watching online can relate to Martha. How many of you are experiencing grief in some form today? Maybe it's the recent loss of a loved one. In my family, my dad has lost 2 brothers in just a few months. Our family's been grieving the loss of family members. Maybe it's infertility. Maybe it's the loss of a job or some career or job opportunity that didn't work out. Maybe it's a relationship that didn't work out. Maybe it's a marriage that ended in divorce when you worked so hard to try to fix it. Maybe it's a dream that didn't come to pass. Maybe for you, it's just a sense like, I thought I would be somewhere different in life. At this point in time in my life, I thought things would be different. And maybe you haven't even realized it, but as I'm describing it right now, you recognize that the emotions that you've been feeling are grief. It's grieving. Isn't it powerful to just name it and call it what it is? As I was praying and reflecting on this message, I recognized that there are some things in my life that I've actually been grieving. Many of you in here today, there's something you're grieving. And here's what it goes on to say in John chapter 11, verse 21 through 22. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Not only is Martha grieving, but she's also disappointed. She's disappointed. She's experiencing disappointment with God. Like, have you ever been there before? Have you ever been in a season like where you felt like, "Lord, if you had only been there, where were you? Like, God, if you had only been there when we were praying for that loved one who was sick. Like, God, where were you when I went through that time of financial loss, when I got laid off from my job and things were so difficult, when I was stressed, when I was overwhelmed, when I was going through that season of brokenness? Like, Lord, if you had only been there." Martha is disappointed because she believed that Jesus was capable of healing her brother Lazarus, but she didn't understand why Jesus wasn't there at that time. She knew what Jesus was capable of. She'd seen his power. She had knew the stories of miracles. She didn't understand what was going on, so she questions Jesus. And you know what this shows us? This shows us God can handle our questions. Come on, Jesus doesn't scold her. Aren't you thankful that God can handle your questions? There's a season when we need to ask why. Can I just give you permission today to ask why? There's a season when it's natural and it's healthy, even good, to ask why. Like, God gives us permission to ask questions. Jesus understands. In fact, how many of you have ever read the book of Psalms? It's filled with a ton of prayers where the psalmist is crying out to God and asking God, "Where are you in the midst of my situation?" It's what we call prayers of lament. To lament, what is lament? A lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. See, Martha is lamenting. Maybe the church needs to rediscover the biblical art of lamenting, learning how to cry out to God instead of being silent and burying everything, learning how to express all those emotions and venting it out to God. To lament is to humbly turn to God through the pain. Grief and disappointment and doubt can cause us to pull away from God, or those feelings can become a catalyst that causes our hearts to turn toward God. And I want you to notice what Martha says here. She says, "Lord, if you had been there," but then notice what she says in verse 22. "But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Yeah. See, despite all that Martha is experiencing, her faith was still present. She still had some faith. How many of you know that genuine faith is often faith in the presence of doubt? It's faith in the presence of doubt. Like, sometimes we have faith and questions at the same time. And so can I just encourage you today, if you're experiencing some faith and some questions at the same time, here's the good news. Your doubts don't disqualify you. You need to know that your doubts don't disqualify you. What do you do when you have faith in God, but at the same time, you're experiencing doubt and disappointment? You do what Martha did. You just keep pursuing Jesus. Just keep taking steps toward Jesus. Just keep praying. Just keep worshiping. Just keep reading scripture and meditating on it. Just keep holding on to the promises of God. Come on, it's kind of like Nemo. Just keep swimming, just keep praying, just keep worshiping, just keep reading, just keep believing, just keep taking steps toward Jesus. Yes. Yes. And here's what I believe, and at some point in time, As you keep trusting, you'll find yourself moving from if you had been here doubts to but even now I know faith. Come on, that's genuine faith. I believe you can move to the point of saying, but even now I know. God, I'm still lonely. God, I'm still waiting for you to send me a godly spouse. God, I'm still waiting for a breakthrough in my finances. God, I'm still waiting for a healing. But even now I know that my Redeemer lives. Come on, even now I believe that you're the God who's able to redeem, the God who's able to work all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. But even now, I believe that you're the God who's able to do immeasurably more than all I can ask or imagine. That's what happens as we keep praying. We shift from if you had been there, but to even now, I know. See, the strongest faith is a faith that grows in the midst of your doubts. I came to church on Daylight Saving Sunday to encourage somebody today, because sometimes we feel as Christians that our doubts disqualify us. Our doubts make us second-class Christians. Some of you maybe grew up in a church atmosphere where you felt like your faith had to be on 100 all the time. There was no permission to ask questions. There was no permission to be a human being and experience some doubt and disappointment. But here's what I want you to know. Genuine faith is tested faith. Genuine lasting faith, the kind of faith that'll hold you through for a lifetime with God, is the kind of faith that's been through some stuff. It's battle tested and it's caused you to pray and cry out to God and seek him. But in doing so, you turned your heart toward him and you trusted. And so I find that the strongest faith is faith that grows in the midst of our doubts. Now let's continue our story. Here's Martha. She's in the midst of her grieving, in the midst of her disappointments. She's questioning Jesus. And here's what Jesus says to her. Look at this. Look at his response in verse 23 through 24. Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said. "He will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." So in the midst of her grieving, Jesus speaks hope to Martha in the form of five words. "Your brother will rise again." And I want you to notice Martha's reply in verse 24. She says, yeah, I know he's going to rise again when everyone else rises on the last day. Now, what is Martha talking about? Well, she's talking about the belief in the resurrection to come. See, the Jewish belief in the future resurrection of the dead started long before Jesus. This was the day when God was going to raise the dead and judge the world, the day when everything was going to be made right. And it was a day that many of the Jewish people longed and prayed for. It was a day that they hoped for. What Martha professes to believe in her partial understanding is what the church fully proclaims as the blessed hope. For 2,000 years, the church has said, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. He will come again. We believe that not only did Jesus rise from the dead after 3 days in a grave, but we believe that one day he is going to return and everyone who believes in him will be resurrected as well. I love the way the Message paraphrase puts the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. Oh, that's good news. We believe, we hold on to the hope that the grave is not final, that Jesus conquered death. And we're going to be celebrating that in just a few weeks at Easter time. Come on, just get your heart ready even now. We're going to celebrate the resurrection and not only what it meant for Jesus, but what it means for us. And so Martha, she professes faith in the future hope of the resurrection that is to come. But at the same time, you can sense the dissatisfaction in her response. Anybody pick up on that? Like, yeah, I know Lazarus is going to be raised, you know, from the dead one day, resurrection. Martha was saying like, Jesus, I know what I'm supposed to believe. I know my theology. I paid attention in Sunday school class. I know one day he's going to be resurrected in the future. But what difference does that make right now? Like, it seemed like Jesus was giving Martha the very last thing that she needed at this time, a Sunday school lesson. That's not what he was doing, but that's what it seemed like to her. I just wonder if anybody in this room, you've ever had somebody, you know, especially a Christian who meant well, try to say something to you that was comforting, but it wasn't comforting when you were going through a really difficult time. You know, people say really like Christianese type things like, well, you know, everything happens for a reason, you know? Or you lost someone and somebody said, well, the Lord needed them in heaven more than you needed them here. And you're like, no, I really needed them here, right? I needed them here. And can I just apologize on behalf of Christians everywhere if somebody ever said something like that to you? Let me just explain to you. Some Christians have the spiritual gift of stupid, okay? And I'm sorry. Don't let that Don't let that stop you from following Jesus. The church of Jesus Christ is just filled with imperfect human beings like you and me. Amen, somebody? But have you ever felt like Martha before? Like, I know what I learned in Sunday school. I know what I've been taught in church. Like, I know my doctrine, but could this gospel really be true for my situation here and now? Like, what do you do? What happens when your dreams die? Like, what happens when life doesn't turn out like you thought it would turn out? Like, when you've made some serious mistakes and you've hurt people who you love, or someone's hurt you that you love, like, does this Christianity thing, does this gospel, this good news thing work during those times? Isn't that the question we have? And let me give you Jesus' answer in John chapter 11, verse 25 through 26. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. And anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? See, Martha had faith in the promise of a future resurrection, but what she failed to realize was that the very one who embodied resurrection was standing right before her. The very author and giver of life was standing in front of her, and Jesus was able to do in the present what she had only hoped for in the future. Why? Because he embodied resurrection and life. Here's what you have to understand. Resurrection isn't just something Jesus does. It's who he is. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And I love the Message paraphrase of verse 25. It says this, you don't have to wait for the end. I am right now resurrection and life. See, the resurrection was more than simply a coming prophetic event. Jesus was saying, I am the one who embodies your hopes right now, Martha. Do you believe this? I love this question. Do you believe this, Martha? In other words, can you activate your faith even in the midst of your disappointment and grieving? That's what Jesus was asking Martha to do. And here's how Martha replies. Look at this, verse 27. Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. What an amazing response. You see, the opposite of doubt isn't certainty. Can I say that to you again? The opposite of doubt isn't certainty. It's belief. It's faith. Martha isn't 100% certain of what Jesus is going to do. She never comes off in this story as like 100% certain. Her faith is like, you know, completely intact. She just knows that she knows that she knows Jesus is about to raise her brother. She doesn't really understand Jesus's plan and purpose at the time, but she chooses to believe before Jesus does his miracle. Do you see it? And I think for many of you, like, what's kept you from fully following Jesus is you want 100% certainty. Some of you in the room, like, you've had questions, you've had doubts. Maybe you're a believer and you went through some difficult things and it's been hard for you to believe. Maybe some of you are exploring faith and you've got questions. We've all got questions. And there's been this sense, like, until I have an airtight, perfect, 100%, you know, answer to all of my questions, then I'll become a follower of Jesus. And let me just take the pressure off of you. The opposite of doubt isn't being 100% certain about everything. I've been to Bible college, I've been to seminary, and can I tell you, I've still got some questions that I'm going to ask Jesus when I get to heaven one day. But guess what? The opposite of doubt, it's belief. It's choosing to believe. It's choosing faith. It's activating your faith. And that's what Martha does. She activates her faith. She wills herself to faith. Now, let me summarize the next few verses, then we'll finish our story, all right? Verses 28 through 27, Martha's sister Mary, she goes out to greet Jesus, and she basically has a similar conversation, you know? Like, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And then the Apostle John tells us that Jesus experiences two emotions. In the midst of all the people grieving and mourning and all the pain, it says that Jesus experienced two things, anger and sadness. Verse 33 tells us that a deep anger welled up within him. And then verse 35, the shortest verse in all the Bible, tells us Jesus wept. Jesus wept. See, Jesus feels anger at the broken condition of the world. How many of you know that God didn't create us for death? He created us for life. Death is the result of the curse of sin. And I believe Jesus got angry because he looked around at all this death and mourning, and he knew something on the inside of him knew, like, this is not God's plan for this world. This is not the original plan for creation. This is the result of man's brokenness and the curse of sin. And then he felt deep sadness. He felt the emotions that the people around him were feeling. He identified and felt and had empathy for hurting people. And you know what this tells me? Even if we don't understand why God allows the suffering we experience, we learn how God feels from this story. When there are those moments when we say, God, why is there so much pain in this world? We put on the news and we hear terrible things happening in this world, and people we love go through difficult things, and we experience loss, so much hurt and pain at times. And we wonder, like, God, sometimes we rage, don't we? Why is the world like this? Jesus feels the same way. And when we weep, he weeps with us. He grieves with us. And let's finish out our story. John chapter 11, verse 38 through 44. It says, Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Does that sound familiar? A little foreshadowing of Jesus' own resurrection, which was to come. Verse 39, roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Like, he's been in there decomposing. I love the old King James translation. It says, Lord, he stinketh. Come on. The street language version, Lord, he's stanky. He's been dead up in there for 4 days. It's about to stank when we roll this stone back. Verse 40, Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe that you sent me. And then in verse 43, Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Jesus, the resurrection in the life, who was able to do in the present what Martha only hoped for in the future, shows up and he calls Lazarus forth by name. And I've heard some commentators say that he had to say Lazarus's name because his words were so powerful, he may have spoken and everybody would have resurrected in every direction all around him. And so he said, Lazarus, just one of y'all, come out of the grave right now. And Lazarus comes out. And I love what he says. He says, take off the grave clothes and let him go. See, Jesus didn't leave Lazarus all wrapped up in the symbols of death. He didn't leave him just limping spiritually, just barely making it. Like, I'm saved and I know I'm going to heaven one day, but I'm barely making it in this life. No. That's not the gospel. That's not what the good news is all about. The good news of the gospel is that we can experience the resurrection of life here and now. It's not just about a future, it's about a future hope invading the present. It's about us embracing something even in the midst of our grief and our doubts and our disappointment. It's a present deposit of a future hope that invades our lives right now. Jesus called Lazarus forth to a new life, a life that was shaped by his resurrection, not to walk around like a zombie barely making it. And can you imagine how Lazarus and Mary and Martha, how their lives were different from that point on? Like, can you imagine, like, Lazarus's reputation? That's quite a party trick, you know? That's quite a conversation starter when you show up at a party. Like, oh, aren't you that dude that was dead for a few days that Jesus raised from the dead? Like, can we get a selfie together? You know, like, imagine that. How his story was different from that point on. So here's the point. Jesus meets us, church, in our grief, in our disappointments, and he offers us resurrection life. He offers us resurrection life. Jesus can transform our grief and disappointment into an opportunity to experience new life. Listen to me. Notice what I didn't say. I didn't say being a Christian means you're never going to go through difficult things. I didn't say being a Christian means you're going to be spared from grief or difficulty or loss. I didn't say that being a Christian means that your faith is always going to be 100% strong and you're never going to have doubts and questions. No. The gospel is better than that because it actually works in the real world. It's redemptive. It's powerful. Here's what it means, that Jesus can transform your grief. He can take all of your hurt, all of your disappointment, all of your loss, and he's able to somehow work it out and redeem it for his glory and for your good. We can hold on to that. And so let me leave you with three things that Jesus gives us in our grieving. And maybe you want to put these in your notes today. Three things that Jesus gives us as he meets us in our grieving. Number one, in our grief, he gives us his presence. He gives us his presence. See, Jesus, he showed up. Maybe not on the timetable that Martha and Mary had hoped for, but he showed up. And not only does Jesus give us permission to grieve, but he grieves with us. He's God with us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He grieves with us. Jesus, like, he gets us. He knows what it is to experience loss. And here's what I want you to know. He's with us in those times. I can't explain why we go through everything we go through, but we know it's not because he doesn't care. It's not because he doesn't care, because here's what we see. He gives us his very presence. We may not understand what he's doing. We may not understand his greater purpose. Martha didn't understand. She was questioning Jesus, having no idea that he was about to do one of the greatest miracles recorded in all of Scripture. But here's what we know. He gives us his presence. And if you have his presence, you have what you need to get through. What does Jesus give us? Number two, in our doubt, Jesus gives us faith. Jesus gives us faith. Can I just encourage somebody today? Like, faith is a gift from God. Like, sometimes we feel like we have to manufacture faith. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I believe Martha chose to activate her faith. But here's the thing I'm so thankful for. Faith is a gift from God. As I look back at my life, I realize so many times God gave me faith. I don't even know how I had the faith to make certain choices I made to trust God for things in my life. But what I recognize is God gave me the faith that I needed at that time. And so what did Jesus do when Martha came to him, when she had questions? Like, Lord, if you had been here, when she had doubts and disappointment, aren't you thankful that he didn't give her a lecture? He didn't scold her. What did he do? He began speaking faith to her. Your brother will rise again. He began speaking faith into our life. So in times of doubt, we hold on to him and his word, and he gives us the gift of faith. Come on, I'm just going to say it again. Don't let your doubts disqualify you. Let your questions lead you to Jesus. One of my favorite prayers in all the Bible is a man whose son was possessed with an evil spirit, and he goes to Jesus. He says, Jesus, if you can you do something for my son? And Jesus says, if I can. He said, all things are possible to those who believe. And the man prayed, he said something to Jesus, which I believe is one of the most genuine prayers in all the Bible. He said, Lord, I believe in you. Help my unbelief. Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed that prayer. Lord, I believe in you. Help my unbelief. And he will. He'll meet you there. He'll meet you. Maybe that's the prayer you need to pray. Some of you might feel like you're running a little bit low on faith today. Your faith is less than perfect. You've had some doubts. You have some questions, but you're here. You made it today. You made it today, and I believe that God is building your faith today. And maybe it starts with praying one of the most sincere prayers. Lord, I believe in you. Help my unbelief. I'm here. I'm trusting. I'm pursuing you. I'm turning my heart towards you. Help my unbelief. And then number three, what does Jesus give us? Number three, in our disappointment, Jesus gives us hope. Come on, somebody say hope. Hope. Jesus gives us hope. Jesus was the embodiment of hope. Everywhere he went, he brought hope to people's lives. And here's what I've discovered. In the midst of walking through the most difficult seasons of my life, walking through loss, walking through heartache, I've buried family members. We've been through it. Here's what I've discovered. If you got hope, you can get through just about anything. If you got hope, you can get through just about anything. And Jesus is the embodiment of hope. Church, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And we hold on to that he's the God who's ultimately able to redeem all of our pain and struggles. I cannot explain why we go through what we go through. I have questions like you. Sometimes I wonder, like, God, I know about the curse of sin. I know that our world is in a fallen condition. I know that this isn't what your original plan was, but God, I don't understand still why we go through all this. But I fast forward to the end of the story. Revelation chapter 21 tells us he'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. There's going to be no more death, no more mourning, no more sickness. Behold, I make all things new. I don't know why we go through it, but somehow in his grand plan, he's able to redeem it for his glory and for our good. And one day we will know. On this side of eternity, we don't have the answers, but one day the veil will be lifted and we will know what we cannot understand this side of heaven. So I don't know what you're going through today, but in the midst of it, we can choose faith. We can choose to trust the one who's able to give us resurrection life. We can do what Martha did. We can cry out to God. We can be open. We can be honest. We can be raw. We can be real. We can bring him our disappointments. We can lament as the psalmist lamented. But in doing so, we turn our hearts to him. We turn from, Lord, if you had been here, to, but even now I know my Redeemer lives. The one who embodies the resurrection and the life. Amen. Come on, can we go to him right now? Can we turn our hearts to him? Even now, would you just bow your head right now? Make your seat an altar where you meet with the presence of God. Jesus is in this place coming out to meet you and me, even as he met this family in the midst of their difficulty. And so can we turn our hearts to him today? Lord, we thank you that you're with us. Jesus, we thank you that you are not a distant God. You're not up there somewhere, but you're God with us. You're the Son of God who comes to us. And you enter into our pain. You enter into our suffering. And we thank you, Lord, that you can handle our doubts and our questions and our disappointment. And we turn our hearts to you today. Lord, we do what Martha did. We bring those things to you. God, some of us this week, we need to spend some time just being open and honest and getting some of those emotions out and naming them. God, some of us, we're grieving something. We're grieving the loss of what could have been. We're grieving the loss of that person in our lives. We're grieving the loss of a hope, a dream that we had. But Lord, we give those things to you. We trust that you're the God who's working all things together for the good of those who love you, who are called according to your purpose. We know that you are the God who's able to redeem everything we've gone through for your glory and for our good. Father, I'm praying today that you would comfort those who are mourning today. I thank you that, Jesus, you weep when we weep. You're with us in those times. And so I'm speaking your peace and your presence and your comfort to hearts all over this room and watching online today. Thank you that you're with us in a very real way. And Lord, for those who need to experience resurrection life, even as Lazarus needed to experience, that's every one of us in this place, but that we would just call upon you. And I thank you that the scripture says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if that's you today, just cry out to him, Jesus, save me. I place my faith in you. I trust in you. Cry out to him, Jesus, save me. Bring me to new life. And he will give that to you. He will resurrect your soul. Father, we thank you for it. I declare a new life over every person in this place. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org or follow us on social media.